This program is sponsored by West Automotive Group.
The West Automotive Group presents Auto Talk Radio with host Brian Bowersock and co-host Kevin Bowersock. Today's show is brought to you by West Escondido, West El Cajon, West Kearney Mesa, and West Miramar Automotive and Transmission, all part of the West Automotive Group. Get your automotive questions answered. Call Brian and Kevin at 1-888-344-1170. That's 1-888-344-1170. Now, here's your Auto Talk host, Brian Bowersock.
All right, good morning, folks. Welcome to Auto Talk Radio on this wonderful August Saturday morning. Thanks for joining us, Kevin.
I know, it's a beautiful day in the neighborhood, isn't it?
It depends on which neighborhood you're in, I'm pretty
There's
sure.
Nothing better than being woken up by an engine revving, too. And I'm being serious about it. I mean, like, when you're at the river and you hear that boat just going down the river, just that's the best way to wake up in the morning.
Yeah. Well, you know, Auto Parkway up at where the Escondido store is, sometimes there's that performance shop across the street.
Yeah, yeah.
Man, sometimes when some of those cars, I'm like, holy smokes. Guys, this is not a racetrack.
Yeah, but that's how you wake up in the morning. Get a little adrenaline flowing.
Okay, well, I'm not there that early in the morning. I hope nobody in my neighborhood starting up a boat or a motor like that. So no, I prefer to wake up peacefully. Now, I must be getting old. But I understand what you're saying. On vacation, you know, you hear one of those big blocks in one of those flat bottoms or something. Blah, 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 mm-hmm. blah, blah, blah. Start up, you know, in the morning out there at the river. It just gets your adrenaline flowing because you're ready to get out and hit the water. So, but that's like vacation time. I don't want anybody starting a 427 or 429 boat next door to me when I'm trying to sleep in on Sunday.
I could get rid of my alarm clock if this all went on. I'd much rather get woke up that way than do a beep, beep, beep.
I'm going to get a loudspeaker for you, and I'm going to place it in your wife's not going to like this, but and I'll just push a button and it'll bah, 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 bah. The first time you come flying out of bed, like you won't know what happened. Sound like somebody's driving a boat through your living room or something.
Well, it won't be nothing new to her. Because normally, you know, like the other morning ago, I was in there sleeping. All of a sudden, I heard, no, get out of the bed. All I hear is this wet dog coming flying through the bedroom. He went out to go to the bathroom, and I guess the sprinklers were on. They came back in and jumped on the bed.
Oh, jeezy Pete's, man. I don't know how that's automotive related, but I guess Kevin's idea to that is keep your wet dogs outside.
You know what? There's a couple. I mean, you know what? In the moment, you're not kind of upset about it, but you know what? Later on, you laugh about it.
I guess so. All right, folks. Hey, we appreciate you joining us this morning. Always a wonderful Saturday morning. Great way to start the day talking about car stuff. Today, we're going to talk about the 10 most common car buying mistakes that we see people do. It's pretty easy to fall into some of these. And that's why we thought this would be a great thing to talk about. Because right now, there's very few new cars available out there. Some folks, if you are needing to buy a car, are tending to purchase used cars. But this also goes for new cars. Some of this stuff does, without question. It's just not about only used cars. It's also about new cars, you know, as far as things that you can do and mistakes you can make. And the printing's really small on this, I just realized, without question. So. Oh, there we go. Okay.
Maybe your arm's not long enough.
My arm's not long enough. That's what was wrong with it. So, not right. So, buying a new or used car can be exciting, right?
Yes.
You know, you get something with all kinds of new bells and whistles that you never had before. Yeah, you know, I mean, it can be some really good stuff as far as that goes.
Well, that's what I've said before. Even all of us, when we go to look at cars, I even get excited. I mean, I like automobiles, you know,
cars.
Motorcycles. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But we can get excited with this stuff, and there's times I miss things when I'm even going to look, and you know, I'm pretty good at this. So,
it is that very, very true, very true. But it is a complex process through which you can end up overpaying hundreds or thousands of dollars, or with a vehicle that you won't be happy with down the road. So that's why we're kind of talking about a couple things that you need to do to make sure you end up with the right vehicle and a happy vehicle, and you're happy with the vehicle. You know, and you're the one that's got to drive it. So. And keep in mind, we always talk about when you purchase a vehicle, you should plan on driving driving the wheels off the puppy. So that way, that's how you get the most value out of it, as me, who drives vehicles 350,000 miles before replacing them.
Well, exactly. And car is going to be one of your biggest. And when I say investments, I mean, honestly, we probably spend more money on our car than we do. I mean, by the time you insure it, you know, the maintenance.
Yeah. The only other a bigger purchase most people make is a home, other than a car. So other than that, car is the next one.
But we definitely abuse our cars more than we do our houses. You know what I mean? We put it through the worst situations, rain, snow, whatever. So.
Well, and it's always bouncing down the road, too. Yes. You don't bounce your house down the road. If you did, parts would fall off.
And then
we'd
bounce it over to whatever, this, that.
Yeah, if you bounced your house down the road, things would be falling off all the time. So that's a bad idea. But yes, so cars are put through a lot, and we need to take care of them properly. But we really, really, really need to make sure you get into the right car initially, so it doesn't turn into, when you purchase a car, that your excitement turns into buyer remorse. That's what we don't want.
Well, there can be that too, because you know what? Me and my wife just went on vacation, and the funny thing is, I mean, you'd want to almost think that these car seats are the same, but they're not. The driver's seat and the passenger seat, we were talking about, because we were switching back and forth driving. Like the driver's seat, you can, because it's got more lumbar supports in it, and you can, you know, you can move the seat around more. It was really weird because I was more comfortable in the passenger seat and she was more comfortable in the driver's seat. I mean, just, you know, for sitting reasons. You know what I'm saying?
What kind of car were you driving?
Yukon.
Oh, okay.
So it's brand new. So it's 2021 Yukon.
Okay. Well, usually they put a couple extra things on the driver's seat because he needs to stay comfortable.
And I get that without question. I'm just saying everybody's different. We feel different things in different seats. So this is one of those things. You got to go drive the car. You got to be comfortable in it. You got to be, you know what I mean? And you might, especially if it's just the two of you, you're going to spend time. Both of you got to be happy in that car. You know what I'm saying?
Correct. Absolutely. But normally our day-to-day life doesn't constitute going on a vacation.
No.
So really where you need to be comfortable if you buy a car is in the driver's seat.
Yes.
Unless you have somebody driving you all the time.
Well, I'm just saying if you have a passenger that, especially as you get older, you and your wife are going to spend more time in the car together. I'm just saying if you have a passenger, sometimes you got to think about the stuff like that too.
That's another thing, because that is true. For older folks that, like my neighbor, they only have one car. They go everywhere together. So he usually drives. She does drive it sometimes when she goes someplace and he like stays home. But I mean, they only have one car.
Yeah.
So if they're going someplace together, they're both in the car. There's no question.
Yeah. And then you have to see that makes buying a car a car more difficult, because you got to make two people happy. You know what I'm saying?
Very true. Very true. So the first biggest mistake is just falling in love with a model. When you're spending tens of thousands of dollars on a car, emotion shouldn't rule the day. So just because you like the way a car looks from the outside is not necessarily a great reason why to buy that vehicle.
Well, that's what I was going to say, especially because you just seen it in a picture and you actually haven't driven it or put your hands on it. It might be totally different in real life.
That's very true. Very true. So you're spending tens of thousands of dollars and becoming infatuated with a single model can blind you to alternative vehicles that may be better for your needs or make you skimp on the researching the process thoroughly. You need to look at vehicle ratings, reviews, reliability, safety, pricing information. A wide-eyed approach can also leave you more susceptible to a salesperson's tactics to get you to pay more for that vehicle because you tell them you're in love with it.
This is the whole problem with that, though. When do most people go car shopping?
I don't know.
When they're in distress.
Is this a trick?
Well, no, because they're in distress and their other car's broken or something's, or they crashed it or whatever.
That's the wrong time to go looking at cars.
That's the problem, is most of us do that in that situation, though, and that's why we make bad decisions.
That's part of the reason. I can see it. But you still need to do your research, which will help you in the long run. To determine which vehicle is best for you, emotion aside, focus on doing your homework, comparing different models, assessing your real wants and needs. There will be plenty of time for emotion after you bought the vehicle, trust me.
So, yes.
Yeah, but then important things when it comes to the vehicle and what you're doing and driving and that. There are so many, and today we have so many different makes and models and different vehicles that can fit your needs. And you really need to be looking for a vehicle that really fits your specific needs.
It was a lot easier back in 1920. Even Chrysler, Ford, Chrysler all had black cars.
So when the Model T came out, there was very limited options. You got one car.
In one color, too, back then. Everybody made the same color.
All black. All cars were exactly. Well, I mean, yeah, when the Model T came out, there wasn't even a there wasn't a Chrysler in a GM yet.
Well, around 1920, I think that they were all three up and running by then, though. And they were fighting each other. Well, you know, like...
I don't know.
It was... I shouldn't say fighting. It was more of a... I'm trying to think of the name. You know how when people banter? Yeah. There was a bunch of, you know, the three big guys were bantering as they were trying to make their car better than the next one.
Competition banter.
Yes.
You know, when was the first model... When was the first car in America, production car in America?
I think
because
the first,
Ford was the first production car.
Yes, but I think it was like 19, and I could be, it was in early 1900s though. And I mean like 1903 or something like that. Because I actually think he made his first car before the turn of the century. I could be wrong.
Well, that would already, 1900 would already be the turn of the century, but I don't remember. Anyway, regardless, I never worked on one of those. I mean, I've seen them. I've never actually worked on one because that was a long time ago.
Yeah.
I definitely was not a technician back then. So.
You know what else I was watching the other day? You remember them cars that used to turn into boats? The little ones?
Yeah, those were like in the 60s, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't even remember the name of the company, but I was watching a TV show the other day going, and like
it was a boat car.
Four of them came down and just poof, and down in the water and off they went. And I was like, you know what? Somebody ought to make one of those again. Or maybe a submarine one. That would be cool.
There's a lot of work to keep a car that floats and drives. Now, that's kind of like driving your house down the road. I mean, it's a lot of work to, the where the axles come in and all that, it's got these special seals to keep water. Yeah,
that's why I was.
So, you know, when a car and axle seal fails, you get a transmission leak. On one of those, the axle seal fails, water starts coming in and your car sinks.
Well, besides that, then it starts blowing stuff out the vent because it's over full and.
That's terrible.
But I've never actually worked on one of those, so I've never actually got to see the bottom of one. I mean, like in real life. So,
well,
you know,
it has wheels outside of it.
Well,
so
I'm sure it does.
Somehow the drivetrain has to be sealed coming out of that.
And it's got to be jet propelled. I mean, I'm assuming, right? Because you're not going to, unless you have a propeller back there. But
I think there's a propeller on the back of them that turns on or flips out or something like that.
Like I said, I'd like to work on one just to see it.
Sounds like a nightmare to me, to be honest with you.
Hey, well, you know. And then, all boats were what they say every time you buy a boat. What was there? You have two happy days. And
the day you buy it and the day you sell it.
Yeah.
But the funny thing about that would be, and if somebody brought one in that they've been, you'd be driving through salt water, you know, like they went in the ocean with, you're like, oh, this thing's going to have all kinds of problems. Just like a car from the Midwest that drives on salted roads where all the brake lines break off and all the, you know, you drive into the ocean, well, man, see, I'm going to tell you something, it's going to damage things.
Well, that's why I wonder, is that stuff all inside the casing of it? Or is that,
yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah, so, well, I do know this about them, is the only thing that comes out that's sealed is the drive line going to, you know, the wheels. So like it's got independent axles that come out that go to each wheel.
Uh-huh.
So, and but on the outside is still all the control arms and the ball joints and all that are still on the outside.
Oh, okay.
They have to be.
Well, then the thing at the ocean, just go to the lake with it.
Jeezy Pete's, man. I don't know.
I got to build one now.
Let me know when you get to building one. As we're talking about this, 10 most common car buying mistakes, skipping the test drive is one. This is where probably the most important thing, because there's so many things, at least in my book, that you can figure out when you're driving. You take the car and drive for a while. Like you said, I mean, you rented a Tahoe, did you say, or a Yukon?
Yeah.
Whichever, it's the same kind of. GM, was it Tahoe or Yukon? Not yet.
Well, it's the same thing. I mean, well, it's Suburban, Yukon. It's the only thing different is like a foot.
Oh, okay.
Like in the body. I mean, obviously the frame. I don't. Well,
what did you rent?
Well, it was a Yukon.
Oh, Yukon. GMC Yukon.
Yes. Okay. But it's the same thing as a Chevy Suburban because it's the same length.
But Tahoe's shorter, isn't it? Do they even
Chevy
have those?
Tahoe is. Not the GMC Tahoe.
Oh.
Yeah, see, that's why I just said, uh-huh.
Okay.
Because there's a lot to this.
Well, then you can also rent an Escalade if you wanted. It's same thing, but it's got more bells and whistles on it. Leather interior, all the great extra things.
Oh, yeah. Well, this one had all the air-conditioned seats and all that stuff. Uh-huh.
Yeah. I'm sure, but I'm telling you, there's something else on those. The Escalade's got all more foo-foo. It's a Cadillac.
Oh, it's a nice car, though.
It's probably got air suspension, too.
Oh, yeah.
And all kinds of things. So, you know, just never know. But anyway, built on the same chassis.
Yes, I'm pretty sure, yes. Mm-hmm. I don't know. That's why I was asking. I don't know if technically if the frame's longer or not, and I never really looked into that. I do know, like, on my truck, when I order certain things for it, like drivelines, like my diff flange for it when it was leaking a little bit, when I went to order it, they wanted to know what length the frame was.
Well, correct. They do that a lot. The Ford does that too.
Because there was like four trucks. there was like four different lengths. So I'm not totally sure that one doesn't have a longer frame or something weird about it, but.
Could, but you're, from the outside, it's,
yeah,
you don't
yeah,
really.
Yeah, the only thing you notice is that rear quarter window, it's about a foot longer, okay. 12 inches.
That makes sense. But skipping the test drive and for multiple reasons can be a problem without question. There's a lot to talk about the test drive and why that's important. But one of the things I was going to get into is an extended test drive where you go and rent a vehicle you're thinking about buying. Like, so if you were thinking about buying a Yukon or a Suburban or whatever, it'd be a really good idea to go rent it for 4 or 5 days and drive it around.
Yes.
Drive it on a freeway, drive it around town, learn to park it, you know, see, is this car really, really, really fit my needs? We're going to talk a lot more about that as we go. We're going to have to take our first break here real quick. But when we come back, we're going to discuss more car buying issues without question. You're listening to Auto Talk Radio on The Answer San Diego 1170 and K-Praise. We'll be right back after these messages.
There's more Auto Talk education and empowerment on the way here on Auto Talk Radio. Get on the line and get your automotive questions answered by the Auto Man here on Auto Talk Radio. Brian Bowersock, 888-344-1170. Now, here's more Auto Talk with Brian Bowersock.
All right, folks. Thanks for joining us this wonderful August 7th Saturday morning. It's a beautiful day outside.
Yes, yes, yes.
Yes, 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 and yes. As we're talking about car buying mistakes. I did double check. Mr. Producer was happy to help us out here. 1903 tonight.
01 to 03. Was that Model A?
No, it was 03 to 05. Go ahead.
It was 1902 to 03 was when they produced the Model A.
Okay.
1908 was the Model T.
That's what it was. Yes, correct. Yeah, so you're right. It was the beginning.
Yep.
Yeah, when they produced the Model A, though, Chrysler and GM were non-existent.
I don't think so, no, neither. But it was shortly after, because they were all kind of like going at the same time. Ford did get it out there faster, though.
Well, the thing was that they looked at that and said, hey, this is a good idea. We should probably do this.
And yeah. I think the Chrysler brothers were the last to come in, because I think General Motors actually was made up of like...
I don't think Chrysler actually came in until quite a while later.
Because like they bought Pontiac, but Pontiac was called something else. It was called like Chief Motors or something back in the day. And then it got turned into Pontiac. And then... So General Motors kind of came together on that. That's why... actually, Chevrolet started all, then General Motors is because they brought in Pontiac and Buick and Oldsmobile. And
gotcha. Yeah, for sure. Well, yeah. I'm going to look here in a minute when we get a chance. But all right, folks, I do want to remind you, Auto Talk Radio is brought to you by the West Automotive Group, which consists of West Escondido Automotive and Transmission up at 2200 Auto Parkway in Escondido, AAA approved and STAR certified. Taking care of folks up there in North County for 28 years now. What are you looking up in the air for?
Because I'm like, holy crap.
What? I've gotten old.
I know what happened.
for like 28 years now up there. And West Elkhorn Automotive and Transmission out at 844 North Johnson Avenue in Elkhorn, AAA approved and smog certified. Taking care of folks out in East County for over 8 years now, along with West Kearney Mesa Automotive and Transmission at 8027 Balboa Avenue right in central San Diego there, AAA approved and smog certified. Taking care of folks for over 4 years at that location. And, of course, last but not least, West Miramar Automotive and Transmission, right in the Golden Triangle, 5726 Miramar Road in Eastgate Mall. AAA approved and STAR certified for smog. Taking care of folks over there for over 2 years. All of us at the West Automotive Group, me, myself, my employees, all come together to bring you Auto Talk Radio for one simple reason. That is, we believe in the same philosophy. We never put money ahead of people. Extremely important to us. You stop in and have your vehicle serviced or repaired and find out what quality automotive service and repair is all about. The West Automotive Group is also proud to offer you and all our clients, a new or existing, 6 months no interest for your vehicle service or repair needs on approved credit. Just ask one of your service consultants in one of my locations. They'll be happy to help you out, or the service manager. You can also take advantage of our CertiCare transmission diagnosis. If you think you have a transmission problem, somebody told you you have a transmission problem, somebody diagnosed your car as having a transmission problem, you should probably get it in and to us and get it checked by the experts, because we see way too many vehicles that have either received or been recommended an expensive repair that is not what the vehicle needed to fix it or else. So we see people, it's kind of throwing money down a rat hole, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Not a good idea at all. So get in and let us do our CertiCare transmission diagnosis or any other diagnosis on your vehicle that you think you have going on. We're here to help you out. This is why we hire master certified technicians, and we have some of the highest trained technicians in San Diego County, without question. These guys do an amazing job, and we're here to help you out like family, for sure. We also have shuttle vehicles at all locations, so you can get a shuttle ride to home, work, and back when we're done. And we also offer low-cost rental vehicles at all four locations. You can jump on westautomotivegroup.com. That's westautomotivegroup.com. And follow us on Facebook or Twitter by going to westautomotivegroup.com, just clicking on stuff, and they'll you can get on there. And we send out all kinds of tips and things like that weekly, so check it out. You can also make appointments, see what we're all about, and that. Once again, that's westautomotivegroup.com. Or pick up the phone number to call any of the locations if you want from off there. You can also go to my Automan segments, which takes you to my YouTube channel right off of westautomotivegroup.com. And you can see where I'm the auto man for Fox 5 and the CW. Check it out there, and you can go. They're all posted there as they air on the news. And you can see them there if you missed them. Or you can go to Auto Talk Radio, where we put all of our podcasts also after we have completed them live. So that's westautomotivegroup.com. You can email us anytime at autotalk@westautomotivegroup.com. Or you can also go get all the podcasts that are available through Apple Podcast. Oh, so hard to say. Apple Podcast, Google Podcast.
They're like tongue twisters.
Pandora, Deezer, Stitcher, Spotify, iHeart, TuneIn. And I know it's not called radio.com. I just don't like the new name. So I'm just sticking with that one. That's all what we're doing. And if you go to radio.com, it takes you right. What is it? It's Odyssey, isn't it? Odyssey. When I first thought it, I thought Audacity. Why would somebody name their company Audacity? We're not even going to get into that. Just let that go. Anyway, we appreciate y'all joining us this morning. And if we can help you out with your vehicle concerns or questions or needs, you can always check us out, like I said, at westautomotivegroup.com. So we're talking about car buying mistakes, right? So name one that you've made. I don't think you've done a car buying mistake, probably, but
I have.
Go ahead. What was
it? But I got lucky and I got away with that one. I don't know how this happened, but you know what? I bought this because, and then, you know what? It was the same thing, dude. Car got wrecked. We buy a Geostorm. I should have known it when there was a gallon of water sitting in the on the floorboard in the back.
That was a used car.
Yes. But I'm just saying, you know what? I should have known something. I got home and I noticed that about once a month, I would lose like probably 8 ounces of water in the radiator. Of course, you know, with the small radiator and stuff like that, that's obviously a lot of water. But I just kept it topped off with water for like the year that we had it.
That thing was a piece of junk.
I know
remember that.
But
that
all
car.
I'm saying, though, is I'm just telling you that I didn't know that was wrong with it. And because I was in a hurry because the car got wrecked. We needed her to, she needed the car to go back and forth to work. You know what I'm saying? So we bought the car too fast. So I didn't take the proper amount of time to drive it. It should have been a red flag when I seen a jug. Because when I said, hey, there's a jug of water in there, the lady instantly grabbed and said, that's mine. I was like,
nice.
I should have known better at that point.
Nice. So it looks like General Motors was founded in 1908, September 16th, in Flint, Michigan. Although there's a weird thing here, a Chevrolet 1911, GMC 1911, Cadillac 1902.
Okay, that's why I was telling you, General Motors was formed by all these companies coming together.
Oh.
So Cadillac and then...
Well, it looks like GMC and Chevrolet were both the same exact...
They could have been, yes.
Oh, no. So Chevrolet was November 3rd, 1911. GMC was July 22nd. But this is when these were also registered as corporations.
Yes.
So it's hard to say.
But General Motors came about because they bought all the companies. Because Chevrolet Brothers was actually what started those guys out. But then they did buy like Cadillac along the way. And that's what I'm saying. Pontiac was named... was it Chief or something like that?
Okay, so Chrysler was founded in 1925. It was much later.
Okay.
Yeah.
Later so than I thought it was. Say,
I fit, no, well, it was much later than Ford and all and the Cadillac or whatever. So Cadillac was actually founded about the same time that Ford was. They just weren't producing any vehicles.
Yeah, and you got to remember, Cadillac was also the first one to do an automatic transmission, too.
Oh.
You know, the funny
some
thing
good history.
The funny thing about that is, and you know what, I'm sure that Mercedes slaps himself in the back of the head every day for this one, because that guy actually worked for Mercedes-Benz and he came up with the idea and they told him no way, so he got on an airplane or got on a boat, rode over to the United States, and Cadillac said, let's build it.
Very nice. Yeah, Chrysler was founded on June 6, 1925 by Walter Chrysler. When the Maxwell Motor Company was reorganized into the Chrysler Corporation, it was originally hired to take over and overhaul Maxwell Motor Company in the early 1920s. So,
as I was saying, there was a lot of companies out there trying to make automobiles back then. So, and most of them turned into, that's what I was saying, like General Motors bought a bunch of them up. I think Ford is the only one that probably started, and Ford and Chevrolet are probably the only ones that started out as them and stayed them.
Yep.
So.
Yep. Is what it is. So, well, Chrysler's still them.
Oh, yeah.
But they were founded to take over another company. So what I was going to say about the whole test driving thing when we're talking about this is I think it's a lot of vehicles look good on paper, especially in glossy brochures, photos. Test drive is the best chance to see how a vehicle measures up to the expectations and how well it fits you and your family. So not only do I talk about extended test drives, great, like rent a car and drive it for a couple of days or you know, a week or whatever. If you in car rental places have new cars, like you go, there's several of them. Everybody knows their names. So, but you can, and I don't want to advertise for car rental places, but you can just go rent a car and drive it around. There's some very important things to know, not only how comfortable the seat, like Kevin, the positioning, everything. What about blind spots?
Yes.
Are you good at parking the car? Every car is different when it comes to parking, especially like, you know, parallel parking, et cetera. There's a lot of, different things that go along with that, right?
Yes, so, lots and lots. That's why the weak thing is always the best, because it seems like sometimes when you drive a car too fast, and you may not notice, even when I'm working on someone's car, I might not catch something, but I notice like if they're like, you know what, keep the car for a while, just drive it, because it will happen to you sooner or later.
Mm-hmm.
You finally get it to happen to you, and you start to, even if it was happening all along, but maybe my foot was in the wrong position on the gas pedal, the longer I drive the car, the more I get to feel, you know what I'm saying? I get to feel everything.
Correct. And it's very, and if you're going to own this car for a long period of time, you should probably really know all the ins and outs about it. So a good, thorough test drive is important. Around the block won't usually do it for you.
No, because it's just any car then.
And I said, you get to know all the things, how it feels on the freeway, how it feels on surface streets, how it is to park. Is there any blind spots? You know, all the creature comforts. Is the seat comfortable after you've sat in it for 3 hours on a road trip? Well, it's very...
I know.
Wouldn't you hate to buy a... The other thing is, I'm not extremely tall, but I'm 6 foot tall. There are some cars I get in. Like, let's see, I had one of the little Range Rovers I was driving one time.
Your head keep bumping the roof?
No, but the seat didn't move back far enough for me, and my knee rubbed the door all the time. And we drove it to Palm Springs. It was a rental. I just wanted to check it out. Drove it to Palm Springs, and I was like, yeah, no, I'll never own one of these. I'm too tall for this car,
which
is unusual. I'm only 6 foot tall, but think if you were 6'5", you'd be like, you'd look like a monkey on a little, on a little,
and you know,
mini bike.
You wouldn't have noticed that if you wouldn't have driven that car for a couple of days though. Drove it around the block,
or at least a distance. I mean, it was a couple hours out there, so I was like, oh yeah, man. There was many features I liked on the car. That was the one I did not like. The seat didn't go.
But it took you a couple of days to even realize that was happening to you. I mean, just you know what I mean. Some things we don't notice on a quick test drive around the block. So, especially if you go to a dealership and test drive, you always should go a little longer than the around the corner, especially if you're going to pay $100,000 for, I mean, cars are getting expensive these days.
Oh, they're, yeah. So well, that car is probably not $100,000.
Well, yeah.
I think it's like 45 or something.
I know that, but you understand where I'm going with this. If you're going to pay that much for a car, yeah, I deserve an hour test drive maybe or something. You know what I'm saying?
I think if you're going to pay, I don't care if you're only paying $2,000 for a car, you deserve at least an hour test drive. Anyway, all right, folks, we're going to take our last break here real quick. We appreciate you tuning in this morning to Auto Talk Radio here on the Answer San Diego 1170 and K-Praise. We're discussing car buying mistakes, but we're happy to talk about anything automotive related, as you can tell. We're going to jump off here, and we'll be right back after these messages.
There's more Auto Talk education and empowerment on the way here on Auto Talk Radio. Get on the line and get your automotive questions answered by the Auto Man here on Auto Talk Radio. Brian Bowersock, 888-344-1170. Now, here's more Auto Talk with Brian Bowersock.
All right, folks, welcome back to Auto Talk Radio. We appreciate you joining us here this wonderful August Saturday morning. So, you're looking very bright-eyed and bushy-tailed over there. If you had a tail, hopefully it'd be bushy.
You know what? It's actually a nice morning. It was a little bit of overcast this morning, just enough to put a little moisture in there. You know what I mean? Not to make it humid or anything. This morning was really a nice drive.
Yeah. Rolled down the windows, got some fresh air in.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with that. Always a good thing to do. It's good stuff. Good stuff. So, hey, folks, I do want to remind you, Auto Talk Radio is also brought to you by Interstate Batteries, a battery for every need. Interstate Batteries are the highest quality batteries out there. We do not stock nor sell any other batteries at the West Automotive Group for one simple reason, and that is to, the reason for that is because they are the number one technician recommended battery, and basically, there's not another battery I'd put in anything I own, and I put these in everything I own, from motorcycles to battery backups for our servers to all my batteries come from Interstate Batteries, and that's because they are the highest quality batteries out there. If you need a battery for your vehicle, jump on westautomotivegroup.com and make an appointment. We'll get you in. We'll get you an Interstate installed. I don't care what your vehicle is. We'll get you all squared away. If you need a battery for any other need, you can check them out at their storefronts, 9345 Cabot Drive in Miramar or in La Mesa at 70th and University. They have a battery for every single need. Just get in there and get it checked out. No question. And they will get you what you need. It's Interstate Batteries, battery for every need. All right. So this morning we are talking about car buying mistakes. Kevin bought a car with a blown head gasket, apparently. That was a mistake. I bet you didn't pay much for that car.
I want to say I only paid like $1,500 for the car anyways. I mean, I don't even know if I paid that much. Maybe $1,200. I don't know.
What was the
funny thing is one of my buddies that knew that because he was there when I bought the, a couple days later, he was at the house and I was, you know, like, hey, this thing's leaking water. So he knew this, right?
Oh, it wasn't ingesting it. It was leaking.
No, it wouldn't leak. It was ingesting it, I guess. Oh. I don't know. I couldn't find a leak, but I do a pressure test on it. I couldn't find no hydrocarbon. It was one of those things that had to been really small. So I never really did anything about it because I could just keep it under control.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Gotcha. No, I was going to, I forget what I was going to say about that.
Oh, I'm sorry. I ended up selling it to a buddy too. And he knew what was wrong with it. He knew I was adding water to it once a month. He's like, sell it to me $500. I'll take it. I'll see you later.
What was the first car you bought when you got to California? Was it your Ventura?
Yep. Same car. Still got in the driveway.
You don't drive that car though.
No. Every time I went to start,
even run?
No, because every time, you know, the gas lane sat in there too long. The last time I started it.
You got to pull the carb all apart now.
Yeah, because, you know, the kids were young. So then I'd start to work on it and then, you know, other things.
The 67 Mustang, what I do with that thing, because there goes long periods in it, I run the carb dry on it before I shut the fuel down on it, run the carb dry.
Well,
so that way the floats hang.
That's what I used to do.
Because the needle and seat on... And a lot of folks, if you don't own carbureted cars or anything like that, but if you own vintage cars, if you just like motorcycles with carburetors, you run the carburetor dry, the float drops down, it pulls the needle out of the seat. That way, because if you leave the float with fuel in it, that needle stuck in the seat will solidify up in there. And then if you do get it started off a little bit of fuel that's in the bowl, once it runs dry, the float will never drop down because it's solidified up in the seat.
So or either that or...
People are probably going, what the heck is a needle in a seat?
Well, either that or the seat goes back up and it don't seat anymore because the crustacean, and now it's flooding. So it's like...
Yeah. I haven't had that happen. Well,
that's what happened to mine.
on your
Pontiac.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah. Well, and then the on motorcycles, usually it sticks up, though, is what happens in a thing called starting.
Well, on the motorcycles, I just turn my thing off and I run them out of gas, like when I park them for the winter.
Yeah. That way it's hanging. It doesn't solidify. It dries out. It's all good. No amount of fuel stabilizer helps if it's years.
Not. You know what? Old fuel was okay, but the new fuels with all the additives and stuff in it, don't.
Junk. So I got to get the Mustang back out and get it started again anyway. My first car was a 82 Chevy Chevette. It was a really cool. What are you doing? Dancing?
Yeah.
Okay. 82 Chevy Chevette. I never forget this car. I bought it for $500. I was in the Navy. I had a motorcycle. I was riding a motorcycle, but I was like, I need a car.
It does rain every once in a while. You do got to go to the grocery store.
Yeah, and this was a deal. $500. Somebody had painted it this metallic blue with a roller. It was a really beautiful car. I was like, nobody will ever steal this thing. I'll tell you what, I drove that car all over the place.
Right.
So it was really, really good. So did a great job.
Well, the thing is, when you're on a motorcycle, you can only put so much in a backpack. You know what I mean? So if you go to the grocery store, the grocery store is like one of the hardest things.
Well, I was in the military.
Well, I know, but you gallon of milk and a box of cereal is about all you're getting home. You know, then you got to go back again.
Yeah, I lived in the barracks at North Island when I had the motorcycle.
Oh, so you had a meal ticket then?
Well, yeah, there's a mess hall. I didn't have to really like carry stuff home. I mean, and a candy bar you can fit in your backpack. It's all good. So anyway, that was my first car here. I'll never forget that car. It did me well. I drove that bad boy once I moved off base. Then I got that car, and then I lived down by the airport, and I'd drive that car up over the Coronado Bay. I was always wondered, is this thing going to break down on me?
Who cares?
I fixed it all the time. Or it's going to just get out and leave it on the bridge?
Yep. Toss the license plates.
Can't be doing that. All right, back
to the good old movies back when they used to pull the plates off and just throw them in the bushes and walk away.
Yeah. Now they'd find the plates in the bushes, and they'd be wondering, what are you doing?
And they'd pull my fingerprints off of them.
Great. So we went through the test drive. Very important, you know, and perform a good walk around of the vehicle when you're, you want to just make sure it's the right car for you. And the only way to do that is by actually driving the car, as we spoke. So, you know, negotiating down from the sticker price. Don't use a sticker price as your gauge when negotiating a deal. A salesperson may offer you a deal that's, say, $500 below the sticker price, and many consumers will conclude, often mistakenly, that they're getting a good deal. Unless the vehicle is in big demand and short supply, like right now, cars are hard to get, you can often get an even lower price by negotiating up from what the dealer paid for the vehicle. When you know the dealer's true cost. So a lot of dealers will show, and this is for buying a new car, obviously. A lot of dealers will show you, you know, the invoice on the car, what the car costs them.
Right.
Yeah, so as far as that goes.
I have a feeling anything that's motorized right now is going through these changes about everything is in demand right now, because even I've noticed the motorcycle dealers are low on motorcycles. They're starting to get pricey right now. I know RVs are selling like hotcakes right now, but it makes me wonder how this RV thing is going to turn out. I mean, don't get me wrong, I love RVing, and there's a lot of people out there that, I mean, you know, I have some friends that actually live on the road and all that kind of stuff, but RVing is for, you got to be a certain person, you know, to enjoy that life. So I have a feeling COVID did spread a lot of people buying RVs, and I have a feeling those are going to come back again.
Well, there's a lot of people that bought RVs and boats because they were like, well, we're not going to go anywhere out of the country, so I guess vacationing for the next couple of years is going to be in our RV, and like, we don't have to stay at a hotel, and we don't have to, you know.
And I completely understand what they did, but I'm just saying that's kind of like that's why they're going to say they're going to have an uptick in a lot of motorhomes and stuff like that too, because they're going to realize storing this stuff. Because honestly, like a motorhome, I mean, even a trailer, I use my trailer a lot. And honestly, I still want to look back and go, I only use it 7 times a year. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, realistically.
You still have your camper? Yeah. Oh, I sold mine a long time ago.
Well, I can park it in my house. I got it plugged in my house. It's not like it cost me anything to keep. Honestly, I didn't pay much for that. Somebody was needing to get rid of that when I bought
it. Is
it
a toy box?
Yeah, just a 21-foot toy box. Not a big one. Just perfect. You know what? That way I keep the motorcycles and the buggy in it, too, while we're at home, so I don't have to keep them in the garage. And
yeah, the one I had when me and Zach did a lot of desert riding was a little 18-foot Thor.
Yeah,
it's a toy box.
Yeah. Mine's just 21 foot. It's not very big. It's not, but it just, you know what? I sleep better in that than I do in a motel room.
It's kind of like your house.
Too. Yes.
So it's all good. But good point. I don't know where that's going to go, but motorcycles I know also are higher demand right now because Harley Davidson called and said, hey, do you have any bikes you want to sell that you own? You know, like they're looking for inventory because they're having trouble finding inventory.
Kind of like the car places do.
And when we're talking about buying cars right now, folks, drive through any like Auto Parkway in Escondido. And normally, Cadillac dealers right there in the pinnacle of it, right? There's like a car every 7 spaces on their lot. You could shoot a gun through there and not hit a car.
And that's
don't do that.
No, but yes,
don't do that. Yeah. But my point is that their inventory is extremely low on new and used cars right now.
And I just got back from a trip across the country.
Mm-hmm.
Everywhere else is just like that. I know
it's not just here, but that's my point is that you can gauge it by seeing that. You see it and you're like, wow, man, all the dealers through there. The only dealers I see that had quite a few cars. Audi seemed like they had quite a few still in that, but they're lower. Those are lower volume dealers. They don't sell as many cars as like GM and Ford and Kia and Chrysler. They that's where, Honda, all those dealers, and I'll call them the mainstream dealers, are low on inventory because people buy a lot of cars from them. Typically that's a go-to dealers.
Well, and they're not producing them as fast as they were producing them either. So
we can't, we had a chip shortage. So, and there's another thing. It's hard to get a rental car, too, just so you know.
It probably is because they had to send... There was one rental car company that filed bankruptcy, and they already said that this was going to be a... This was going to send a ton of used cars back into the system again. So, it did happen with them this year, too. Well, so.
Yeah, but before that, when COVID first started,
yeah,
several rental car companies of the big ones sold their inventory off. That's how they lowered their cost.
Yeah, yeah.
So they sold their inventory off. Well, now you can't get new cars. Well, that they only buy new cars when they
because they went out and bought them all.
Well, they sold their inventory off.
So that you can't rent a car because there's no rental cars.
Well, the inventory's low for them too, just like it is on the dealer lot. So, but the chip shortage thing was came to effect. We stopped manufacturing things. They stopped ordering stuff because they weren't selling cars initially in COVID.
Yeah.
So they stopped ordering these things, and then all of a sudden. Now we roll back and not a good effect.
This is another thing I know, and I know this ain't got nothing to do with anything, but for some reason, dude, juices are low right now in stores too.
What?
Like iced teas and juices, dude. Oh. I don't know. I drink a lot more juices than I used to drink just because I don't drink the iced tea because of the caffeine, blah, 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 all this stuff because I'm getting older. But I noticed every truck stop I walked in. It was like, so I started drinking more like strawberry lemonades and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Dude, like all the juices. Monster one's full, but I don't want
don't
that.
Don't drink that.
I don't want that.
You don't
want
to drink that. Sorry, Monster. Didn't mean to talk bad about you. So anyway, just make sure, and car prices are up. You know, I got to be honest with you. I would think, unless you can just find a really great deal, that purchasing a new car right now is probably a bit more of a struggle to get a good price on, if I had to mention it. So just one of those things. Do not do a deal by focusing on the monthly payment, because monthly payments add up. So normal cars are 5 or now 6 years maybe. So, but if they give you a great monthly payment, you think, but you got to pay for the car for 9 years, that's not such a great deal. So you need to actually know what the total cost of the car is. Don't back into the payment. A lot of people that sell cars, especially used cars, love to back you into a payment.
And what about interest?
Tell you what, we can get you in this car for $99 a month.
They forgot to tell you there was 25% interest.
25% interest, and it's a loan for 14 years.
Will you make more money in interest payments than you do on the actual car?
That too. That happens. So just be cognizant about that and make sure that what you're getting what you want and be careful, you know.
I guess this is the whole reason Brian's stressing and all this is because this is when you wreck your car and you're out looking for a car, you need to take that extra day to rent. I understand the insurance car, you only rent your car for a week or whatever they do, but if you have to rent a car for another day or two, then do it to make sure that you get the right car you need.
Yeah, and a good idea, especially if it's an issue where your car got damaged in an accident and they're going to total it, you already have to get a rental. So pick a rental of a car that you think you might want to buy.
Yeah.
So that way you're driving around while you're doing this, checking out cars, you know, it is what it is. Yeah, just see what you can do. The more time you spend in the car and driving, the better off you are. Getting to know the car, like we were talking about before. Don't buy the deal instead of the vehicle. Automakers have been offering a variety of attractive sales incentives in recent years, from 0% financing and hefty cash rebates to employee discount pricing programs. These can save you money, but it's important to remember that the deal is only as good as the car that's attached to. True fact. I got this car for 0% interest, but it's junk. That's great. So just remember, you know, you got to look at all aspects of this and just make sure and check out these vehicles and do your homework also online, which now with the internet obviously makes life way easier. You can actually check on the vehicle, you know, check what other consumers say, check the safety ratings of the car. You don't want to buy a car that blows in two if somebody hits it or something, you know.
No.
Never good. So, I mean, and all that stuff is out there on these vehicles. So make sure you're checking that. And like Kevin said, doing your homework, you know, as far as that goes. Another mistake is waiting till you're in the dealership or car buying place, used car dealer or wherever you're at, to think about how you're going to finance the car. A lot of times their financing isn't the best.
Well, no, it used to be dealers used to own their financing, but they don't anymore. So they used to offer a lot of 0% financing and stuff like that. They don't finance as well as they used, because now the bank, because it used to be General Motors made money on both ends. Mm-hmm. Now the bank's got to make its money and General Motors got to make its money. So you got to pay attention to, you know what I'm saying?
Well, and even 0% financing sometimes is not as good as I bought several of the Kias we have for,
yeah.
Sure, I buy them at a 1.9% financing instead of their zero, because if I do 1.9% financing, they give me these big rebates back, which actually lowers the cost of the vehicle. And if you look at it, I save more money than I do on 0% financing. As
you
said,
but you're done, you save a dollar. But a dollar's a dollar, right?
No, you actually, it's even more. I think it came out to like $1,700 per car better by going with 1.9% financing because of the rebates that they gave.
Yeah.
Overall, even paying the interest is not, and it was like 1.9% interest. And I mean, it's not like a lot of interest.
No, because even if you paid off the car in the loan time, you probably would only pay like, what is it, like $600 or $1,500 in interest anyway. So if you're getting $2,700 back in rebates, it's definitely better.
Correct. No lie about that. So keep that in mind. And you have to pencil all this stuff out when you're dealing with financing and just be prepared. And sometimes you can go to your credit union, get better financing you know, just there's just all kinds of different ways you can go about getting a car financed. So make sure that you follow all your avenues and get figured out, you know, what's best. Safety features are important. We discussed that. Very important as far as that goes. Buying unnecessary extras. I mean, you don't need 7 TVs in your Tahoe, do you?
No.
No.
You know what? I noticed driving around, I don't see people with TVs in their cars like I used to. I want to say back in like 2000, 2005 era.
Yep.
It's like every car I passed, because, you know, you go home from work in the wintertime, it's dark, right?
Correct.
And beyond, like almost every car I was passing had TVs on in it.
Yep.
But now I don't see that. Of course, everybody has phones and tablets and...
Very good. Yeah. They have all kinds of things. Correct. So it's good stuff as far as that goes. Sometimes you don't need all these extras. So just be cognizant of what you're getting with your car, what you're paying for, and what you need. If it is a used vehicle, make sure we do a thorough pre-purchase inspection and Carfax the car. Pre-purchase inspection by a qualified technician at a qualified facility. We do these at the West Automotive Group all the time through the we use the AAA one. And then also Carfax it, which tells you about any accidents, items like that, etc. Very important things to know. when it comes to purchasing a car. So, and all in all, this is pretty much everything that you need to know. You know, make sure you research the value of the car before you purchase it and go from there as far as that goes. You know, the best of luck. Like I said, put the time in, do the research, and you'll end up with a great car that you can drive for years and years, right?
Yes.
So, not much more about that as far as it goes with that. So we hope that you guys have enjoyed learning about how to go about purchasing a car and go from there. You know, we are here to always help you out. We love talking about automotive stuff, and we appreciate you all joining us as far as that goes here every morning on Saturdays. It's really good stuff. We just want to make sure and bring you good information, and we appreciate all you that call in and join in and with your different automotive questions and concerns and tips, etc. What do you got to say?
Have a great day.
Yeah, have an amazing day. Have a wonderful weekend. And, you know, make sure that you go through all the car buying steps. San Diego and everybody else out there, keep the rubber side down and shiny side up, as I said. Until next Saturday, this has been Auto Talk Radio.
For answers to all your automotive questions, tune in every week at this same time for Auto Talk with Brian Bowersock. To learn more about Brian, become a guest or sponsor of the show, or if you have additional questions, visit thewestautomotivegroup.com. That's thewestautomotivegroup.com, and click on Auto Talk Radio. Join us again next week for more Auto Talk.
This program is sponsored by West Automotive Group.